We are often told that the poor are grateful for charity. Some of them are, no doubt. But the best amongst the poor are never grateful. They are ungrateful, discontented, disobedient, and rebellious. They are quite right to be so. Charity, they feel, to be a ridiculously inadequate mode of partial restitution, or a sentimental dole, usually accompanied by some impertinent attempt on the part of the sentimentalist to have tyranny over their private lives. Why should they be grateful for the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table? They should be seated at the board and are beginning to know it. As for being discontented, a man who would not be discontented with such surroundings and such a low mode of life would be a perfect brute. Disobedience, in the eyes of anyone who has read history, is man's original virtue. It is through disobedience that progress has been made. Through disobedience and through rebellion. Sometimes the poor are praised for being thrifty. But to recommend thrift to the poor is both grotesque and insulting. It is like advising a man who is starving to eat less. For a town or country laborer to practice thrift would be absolutely immoral. Man should not be ready to show that he can live like a badly fed animal. He should decline to live like that and should either steal or go on the rates, which is considered by many to be a form of stealing. As for begging, it is safer to beg than to take. But it is finer to take than to beg. No, a poor man who is ungrateful, unthrifty, discontented, and rebellious is probably a real personality and has much in him. He is at any rate a healthy protest. As for the virtuous poor, one can pity them, of course, but one cannot possibly admire them. They have made private terms with the enemy and sold their birthright for very bad pottage. Oscar Wilde. Well, Bill and Melinda Gates are going for a divorce. And they join Jeff Bezos, who had a divorce earlier. Some of the richest men in the world. Dan Price has a good tweet. Dan Price, Seattle. Two divorces, Bezos and Gates, redistributed $400 billion. That's more than the city budgets of New York, L.A., D.C., Chicago, San Francisco, Houston, Philly, Seattle, Portland, Austin, Phoenix, Dallas, Boston, and Detroit combined, then doubled. Relying on billionaire charity will never be the answer. Which brings us to a problem in this society. Should rich people contribute to charity? I would say yes. I would say middle-income people should contribute to charity as well. But when you have the amount of money and the means to direct the charity to do your bidding, are you really giving it to the people? Are you just furthering your own aims, your own ambitions, and your own goals? It's one of the problems with an overabundance of wealth. First of all, I personally don't mind if a person has money. I think it's a useful tool. And we should all have a good standard of living. But much like the Rockefellers, who have a good foundation and give quite a bit of money to charities they control and guide, Rockefellers made money on oil. And it's almost as if now they're paying penance for making all that money. And old man Rockefeller, I'm pretty sure he may have been a mean fellow and caused a ruckus in the business community, but you know what? Business is business. Wasn't personal, right? It's okay. Here's some millions or billions of dollars towards charities. I almost get the feeling the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is like that. Made his money, fought the government on taxation. I would not be surprised if some money's in the Panama Papers as well. But now, charities, are they used as tax schemes? Oh, for sure. If you take your money and you put it into a charity, you're not taxed on it. And that charity can be designated to a charity of your choice, or that trust fund. So, not to pick on Bill and Melinda Gates, I mean, he's going through a divorce for crying out loud, but he's done some stuff, let's say, for education programs. Examples of some of the stuff he's done is from kindergarten to grade 12 reforms advocated by the foundation include closing ineffective neighborhood schools in favor of privately run charter schools, extensively using standardized test scores to evaluate the progress of students, teachers, and schools, and merit pay for teachers based on student test scores. Critics believe that the Gates Foundation exerts too much influence over public education policy without being accountable to voters or taxpayers. Okay, well, there's a global health division. A 2007 investigation by the Los Angeles Times claimed there are three major unintended consequences with the foundation's allocation of AIDS towards the fight against AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. First, sub-Saharan Africa already suffered from a shortage of primary doctors before the arrival of the Gates Foundation. But by pouring most contributions into the fight against such high-profile killers as AIDS, Gates has increased the demand for specially trained, higher-paid clinicians, diverting staff from basic care in sub-Saharan Africa. This brain drain adds to the existing doctor shortage and pulls away additional trained staff from children and those suffering from other common killers. Secondly, the focus on a few diseases has shortchanged basic needs such as nutrition and transportation. Thirdly, Gates-funded vaccination programs have instructed caregivers to ignore, even discourage, patients from discussing ailments that the vaccinations cannot prevent. In response, the foundation has said the African governments need to spend more of their budgets on public health than on wars, and the foundation has donated at least $70 million to improve nutrition and agriculture in Africa, in addition to its disease-related initiatives, and that it is studying ways to improve the delivery of healthcare in Africa. Both insiders and external critics have suggested that there is too much deference to Bill Gates' personal views within the Gates Foundation, insufficient internal debate, and pervasive groupthink. They do some good things, there, without a doubt. They've funneled money into helping countries, helping scientists. They've also funneled money to the Alliance for Green Revolution in Africa, which is AGRA, which is a development and organization founded in 2006 by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation with a focus on Africa. The criticism, though, is expressed at the personal links between the executive board and Monsanto. AGRA's economic connection to groups such as Monsanto, Cargill, DuPont, Dow Chemical, BASF, and Bayer, together with the fact the foundation holds a significant proportion of the company's shares, lead to criticism in particular. The promotion of the use of chemical fertilizers and hybrid seeds, leading to the destruction of grown smallholder structures and an increase in Africa's dependence on large corporations, is being criticized. Okay, let's find another one then. Modi Goalkeepers Award. On September 24th, 2019, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave its Goalkeepers Global Goals Award to Indian Prime Minister Modi. The decision to award Modi was widely criticized by academics, Nobel Prize laureates, and human rights activists from all over the world. A petition signed by over 100,000 people also demanded that the Gates Foundation rescind the award. Critics insisted that Modi, a Hindu nationalist prime minister with an alleged long record of human rights abuse, should not be celebrated by an organization whose mission states that every life has equal value and all people deserve healthy lives. Well, okay, let's move to a different one. Poverty and education policy. You can't screw that one up. Oh, critics say Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has overlooked the links between poverty and poor academic achievement and has unfairly demonized teachers for poor achievement by underprivileged students. They contend the foundation should be embracing anti-poverty and living wage policies rather than pursuing untested and unsupported education reforms. Critics say that the Gates-backed reforms, such as increasing the use of technology in education, may financially benefit Microsoft and the Gates family. Okay. The foundation trusts invests undistributed assets with the goal of maximizing the return on investment. As a result, its investments include companies that have been criticized for worsening poverty in the same developing countries where the foundation is attempting to relieve poverty. These include companies that pollute heavily and pharmaceutical companies that do not sell into the developing world. In response to this criticism, the foundation announced in 2007 a review of its investments to assess social responsibility. It subsequently canceled the review and stood by its policy of investing for maximum return while using voting rights to influence company practices. Critics have called the foundation to divest from the GEO Group, the second largest private prison corporation in the United States. A large part of the prison's work involves incarcerating and detaining migrants that have been detained by the administration. In 2014, the Gates Foundation acknowledged its $2.2 million investment in the prison corporation. It has more recently rebuffed critics' request that it sever investment ties with the prison corporation. It has refused to comment on whether it is continuing its investments. Jeez, this kind of charity will kill a guy. I know I'm picking on this, but it's been bugging me. Plus, we know Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is involved in the vaccine and the distribution. He came out recently saying that the patents for the vaccines should not be sent to third world countries or to other manufacturers. Should not. He says because the laboratories themselves need to be set up and there's a process, and he doesn't believe anybody else can do it, basically. I'm paraphrasing. But Joe Biden came out and said that he believes the patent should be out there in the world for these other companies to make the product. to alleviate the COVID virus. All told, the 50 biggest donors contributed $24.7 billion in 2020, compared with $15.8 billion in 2019 to charities. Still, those gifts come from a small share of the billionaire class. Only 23 of the people on the Forbes 400 gave enough to qualify for the list. Many of the donations came from people far less wealthy. Jeff Bezos was the top donor. And he's also donated $10 billion to launch the Bezos Earth Fund. And he also contributed $100 million to Feeding America, the organization that supplies more than 200 food banks. His wife, Mackenzie Scott, the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos, gave $5.7 billion in 2020 by asking community leaders to help identify 512 organizations for 7- and 8-figure gifts, including food banks, human service organizations, and racial justice charities. Another donor who gave big to pandemic causes and racial justice efforts was Jack Dorsey, the co-founder of Twitter, who ranked number 5. He put $1.1 billion into a fund that by year's end had distributed at least $330 million to more than 100 nonprofits. Financier Charles Schwab and his wife Helen gave $65 million to address homelessness in San Francisco. Netflix co-founder Reed Hastings and wife Patty gave $120 million for financial aid for students at historically black colleges and university. And Michael Jordan, the basketball great, he pledged $50 million to racial and social justice groups. Giving experts say they think the trend toward broader giving is likely to persist. Well, so here's my question. We know Bill Gates got to keep his money by fighting the United States government in court over antitrust legislation. He spent millions. Jeff Bezos was Amazon never made money for the first years of its existence, but people kept funneling money in and he kept buying products and companies and he's going to be a trillionaire soon. Warren Buffett has got a lot of money as well. So my question is, just faithfully, I'm being real here. Did these billionaires and millionaires pay their fair share of taxes? If governments had access to the money that was rightfully the government, I would suggest to you that the food banks could be closed down, that people would have adequate compensation, and I'm not saying for free necessarily, unless you're a mother with children or you're handicapped. But what I'm saying is, these companies saved their money, they put their money overseas, they brought their money back. And I'm darn sure that they evaded the taxes. If you're paying taxes, that means you're making money. And we all do not have a problem paying taxes. Except when the big guys don't pay their taxes and it falls on the little guys. Seems to be the way of the world. If the money would have stayed in the country, maybe the infrastructure would be better. The money's for the people to be distributed, in my opinion. And I'm okay if you have money. I would like money too. But if you're talking about a gilded age, man, some people got a lot of money. I don't know how many yachts you need, two or three. Betsy DeVos, I don't know, maybe she has 10. Don't quote me on that. But it does seem if you have a lot of this money, and then as penance, you say, okay, I'm going to do a charity, plus you get a nice tax break. Then you direct those funds of that charity towards issues and causes that are close to your heart or ideology. I could bring a world of hurt to the world. With unemployment rising, in my city it's over 11.3% unemployment. The province is 11.3%. There's a lot of these jobs are not coming back. If you work in the oil sector, you're having a hard go right now. We need to funnel money into the solar, into the wind projects. I get that. This is just my opinion. And I hope you have a good one. You take care. This has been North of 48.